Coupling Pay program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I've been better, Ken.
You've been better?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Gee, what happened yesterday?
I don't know. Defense broke down. I don't know what to say.
Well, especially, I would say, Tillman.
Yeah, oh, Tillman. I want him, yeah. What can I say about him?
He was the weakest link, and they really just focused on that.
Well, good for them, though. You know, for them to recognize a weak link and keep going at it, that's, you know, good for the Panthers.
But if I were Lovey, and I said this before, I would have put Vasher on Smith, period.
Yeah, one-on-one the whole game, right?
The whole game,
absolutely.
Wherever he goes.
Absolutely.
And it's been proven time and again that someone can get beat, can get burned, and he did. It was twice.
Yep.
Although, I mean, I think the second one on the leap where they're both going for the ball, that was a tough one for him. He just didn't have the size, I don't think.
Well, yeah.
But, oh, well, totally different team the Bears met yesterday than during the regular season, that's for sure, because they got beat. They really did get beat. I don't know, line, offensive, defensive line, they just got totally beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we met a different Panther team, and I think the Panthers met a totally different Bear team.
So it seems.
You know?
It didn't help having Brown out again, too.
Well, yeah.
Well, wait till next year, which we're
accustomed to hearing here in Chicagoland, huh?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
That was pretty painful.
Very painful.
Oh,
you know, and
the backs of the offense, they scored enough points to win, right?
Well, they sure did, and you know, up until the very last play of the game, I thought we had a chance.
Right.
You know, it was a great game.
Yeah, yeah. At least the Bears made it interesting. They didn't get wiped off the face of the earth.
No, they did very well. And then, of course, the Pittsburgh and the Colts. That was a great game too. So you talk about a couple of major upsets over the weekend.
Yeah,
you got Pittsburgh advancing.
Well, here, I'm glad you pointed it out, because here brings me to my point that I did make last couple of weeks, I think. And I think it bears me out. I think the Colts and the Bears made a huge, and almost Seattle, too.
Uh-huh.
But they said they made squeak, well, not made it in squeak, but I can't remember the Seattle score, actually. But,
yeah.
I think trying to save your first string and take him off and not worrying about losing the next few games or whatever, I think that takes the edge away. I think you need that momentum. And I think that was a huge mistake when the Bears didn't just play their regulars against Minnesota and try to beat them.
Yeah, why would you want to take them out of a rotation? That they're on a roll, and you take them out of that roll, and they have to start over again.
And that's what happened to the Colts.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Colts didn't get going until the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they did the same thing, only worse than Lovey did. The Colts basically fell down in the last 3 weeks, didn't care. Because it didn't so-called mean anything. Well, it does mean anything, and competition means something, and I think you have to keep that keen edge at all times in competition. And I think that really hurts the Bears, and it hurts the Colts, and that's why they're not going on it in the playoffs.
I think both teams prove your point.
So, anyway, well, Lovey, listen to me next time. Right. All right. Let's move on to the stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. This is kind of a sad one, actually, more than anything. Back in, when was this? Recently, let's just say, out in Las Vegas, Nevada. A 14-year-old teenager killed himself. It doesn't matter if it's a guy, a boy or a girl, actually. The point is that because of the gun laws in various states, including just the various laws of child endangerment, to add insult to injury, the parents of the child who shot themselves dead by killing themselves, with a gun, it wasn't enough to lose your son. So they went ahead and the authorities in Clark County indicted and was the father, I believe, pled guilty to endangering the child by leaving a firearm around. Now, there's no law specifically in Nevada, although there is in 17 other states, that prohibits the use of arms laying around without them being locked up in some fashion. But Nevada used just the general laws of endangerment to say, okay, it wasn't enough that your child killed himself. You haven't suffered enough, so we're going to find you guilty of endangerment, too. So he so far got like a year suspended sentence and 3 years probation. But I just think that's outrageous. I think this whole push for gun control, again, hurts the victims more than anybody else. And a parallel story in California, where there was or is a law that prohibits weapons not locked up for children under the age of 18. Jessica Lynn Carpenter, this was back in the year 2000, her siblings were murdered by her, I believe, father, who hadn't been living in the house anymore. But he was apparently high on drugs and stark naked and armed with a spade fork, what the article says here. Cut the phone lines, broke in, and began chasing down the children. Jessica Lynn tried to dial 911. The phone was dead, so she ran to the gun closet. And because of the safe storage law in California, she wasn't able to access the gun like she wanted to save herself and her siblings. She managed to escape death. It was just injury, but her siblings were killed. And so this whole argument about, well, we have to keep things safe for children and keep guns away, you know, of course, runs both ways. But it seems to me that the responsible thing to do is to allow responsible parents and children the access of a right to defend themselves. You know, and I do recall, you know, 19th century rural America, 10-year-old children were walking to school with their shotguns and just, you know, putting them up on the rack when they came in. You know, nobody got shot dead. So one more example how gun control does not save lives, but actually kills them. Well, at any rate, we are going to have an open line today. So anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. We will be discussing a little bit about Samuel Alito, or as Teddy Kennedy said, Alioto. George Alioto. Of Alioto, Haynes, and Jeremiah, I guess, or something like that. But it looks like he's going to get confirmed, so we better be ready for what Alito has to offer. And I would love to hear others' impressions if they watched the hearings at all. I watched a lot of them, a lot of it. I'm not sure if it was a waste of time or not, but I came up with some impressions of Alito, and I'm rather fearful for the Republic, and I'd love to hear everybody else's opinions on that. 847-931-1410, that's 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello, friend. friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. We are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. Okay, a little bit of Judge Alioto. Alito. He tried to answer more questions than Judge Roberts did. I'll say that. But he would not really, I think, give up his hand in almost anything. But it seems to me, just by giving credence to some so-called new legal constitutional theories, I really think the Republic, what's left of it, is in grave danger. Because he did not dismiss out of hand George Bush's, or the President's ability, if you will, to spy domestically without basis of law. He seems to say that there are some constitutional theorists that think that the president implicitly has that power in Article 2 for the executive branch, that he has the power to spy on citizens during wartime, even though war has never been declared. He gave credence to that argument by saying, well, there's two sides to the story. Well, I think in most people's opinions who believe in freedom, believe in the Constitution, that there is no two sides of the story, that the president is not above the law or the Constitution, and that he has no right at all to engage in spying, domestic spying, or to engage in torture, but that's another one, to engage in torture, and to declare war without congressional approval. All these things supposedly are, well, that's within the bounds of constitutional theory. And seems to me it's extremely scary, folks. Extremely scary. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong. But you seem to be entering a new age where the checks and balances instituted by the Founding Fathers with the three separate parts of government, including the Bill of Rights, are now no longer valid. They're just no longer efficacious in this time of continued war on terror, so-called war on terror, which, again, in my mind, mostly is a war on the American field, American people. And I believe that terrorists, I fear most of the terrorists in Washington, D.C., not Islamic, so-called Islamic fundamentalists. I am doing a show remotely, by the way, folks, so I'll time to ask Mike what's going on there.
Uh-huh.
At headquarters. Do you have any calls yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Another issue is over the weekend, American military murdered 17 people in Pakistan, trying to find and kill the number two leader of Al Qaeda, Ayman al Zawahiri. Evidently, he had been invited to dinner in this village, but didn't show up, but that didn't stop the American military, and there was a missile we put out, a missile strike, and killed 17 innocent people, and now Pakistan's up in arms and wants out of Afghanistan. at least a lot of the people demonstrating do. And these are the kind of events that will continually happen and that that will expand Islamic fascism or Islamic fundamentalism against U.S. interests eightfold, tenfold, hundredfold. This is a war we can't win, folks. You can't win a war when it's when you keep on killing innocent people, and that's the only way you can do it, because this is a different type of war. You cannot force democracy. It's an oxymoron right there. Not that we should be implementing democracy anyway, because this country is supposed to be founded on as a constitutional republic, not as a democracy, but nonetheless, that's ostensibly our reasons for being out there in the Middle East, to implement democracy. And well, how do we do it? We use it by engaging in torture, by detaining people without them being charged with a crime, not allowing them access to a lawyer, by spying on Americans without basis in law, even the unconstitutional law that Bush was under, that went to an unconstitutional court to get permission to spy on Americans. He didn't even do that. These are the same powers that Hitler had, folks. Now people are going to get upset. Some neocons are going to get upset. Oh, you're comparing Bush to Hitler. Oh, no, Bush hasn't murdered 12 million people yet. But the policies are in place. Policies in place for total police state rule. And you Republicans who say, oh, it's a necessity what we do now. We have to give George Bush these broad powers in order to fight Al-Qaeda, to fight terrorism. Well, how are you going to feel about that, folks, you neoconservatives, when it's not George Bush that has that power, but instead it's Hillary Clinton? Are you going to be so ecstatic about giving the president these huge broad powers to engage in things that used to be inimical of what the United States is all about? Can't believe we're even arguing about torture versus no torture, or detaining without a warrant or not, or spying on American citizens. The fact that Americans aren't enough in arms about these things tells very vividly how far down this country has gone in being any kind of moral bastion or beacon for the world to look up at. Instead, the world looks down at it as the thug of the world, and they're right. And it's shameful, because this heritage of this country, legacy of this country, was one of individual freedom, self-responsibility, and not intervention in foreign policy. And instead, we've become the oppressive thug of the world. Neocons say, oh, everybody's got to be someone. We're the greatest power, so we have to lead, and we have to lead through power. Well, that's nonsense. You lead through example. The Soviet Union, I believe, became at least a little bit more free than it is than it was under the Soviet Union, because not so much of our policy of strength, but of our policy of Soviet Union's policy of allowing McDonald's and Levi's to come into that country and engage in commerce. I think that had more to do than anything for the peaceful revolution that happened in Eastern Europe and Russia. And you don't lead by example for individual freedom, self-responsibility by killing innocent people. And oh, well, that's collateral damage. Well, all well and good, but you use the excuse of collateral damage to the families of those who have been murdered by America. And I think they're going to have a little different opinion on it. It shouldn't surprise us too much that these extremists will go to no end, you know, with suicide bombing and the like. Because what they see is an invasion. It's an invasion of their countries by the United States. Love to hear your opinion. 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John.
Ken, we got John online.
Great. All right. Let's talk to John.
John, you're up.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing?
Now, you don't really want to kill Zawahiri, do you?
What I want to do is, if there's anybody that is accused of a crime, arrest them, try them, convict them, maybe even put them to death. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel. It changes from day to day how I feel about the death penalty. but punish them through due process of law, not by killing innocent people.
How do we arrest Zawahiri when he's not in our country?
I guess what you want to do is just declare an undeclared war. And just
I'm
go on and kill him.
How you
want to
kill Zawahiri?
How do you do it? By killing indiscriminately?
I've heard all
how do you do it, John, by killing indiscriminately?
But I just don't, I haven't heard one single solution for how are you going to catch Zawahiri.
Well, the way I suggested that we catch Osama bin Laden, and of course we don't even hear about him anymore, do we? Whatever happened about we'll track you, we'll hunt you down, we'll get you no matter what. Whatever happened about that? My opinion at the time,
well, we have a big explosion around Zawahiri.
I'm not trying to answer your question if you allow me to.
Well, yes.
My opinion at the time was that if we really considered Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden an enemy, then Congress should have declared war on that group just as Thomas Jefferson declared war on the Barbary pirates.
So if Congress declares war, Zawahiri is going to immediately turn himself in?
Pardon me?
So if Congress passes a war declaration, Zawahiri will say, oh, they're serious now, I better turn myself in?
So instead you'd rather because of unjustified means, you'd rather destroy what we're supposed to be fighting for by just ignoring the Constitution. We basically have no Constitution, John. What kind of Constitution do we have if we ignore the specific provision of the Constitution that Congress has the power to declare war, not the President?
I have yet to hear a solution for catching Zawahiri.
I know.
That was my original point.
And your solution is to get rid of what we're fighting for.
You know, you started off your show complaining about the Bears' loss, and then you immediately offered what you would think would be a solution to keep the Bears from losing. But I have, or how they could have won the game. But I have yet to hear a solution as to how you're going to catch Zawahiri.
Well, my first solution is not to throw away the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, to not destroy the Constitution by the process of trying to save it. That's not an answer. These are not easy answers, John, but I know one answer is not using force and killing innocent civilians. That I know is not the answer. I suggest that a possible answer, you choose to ignore it.
So
you really want to try to
hunt
somebody down out of the country, do what Thomas Jefferson did. Declare war against that group of people, like Jefferson did against the Barbary pirates. Now, some of my libertarian friends are going to think I'm way off base just even saying that. But I'm saying that at least would be a lot more constitutional solution than what you're proposing, which is throw the Constitution away and just let the CIA or the military run amok. And killing innocent people, well, that's too bad. It's just collateral.
So how do things change if you declare war, and who do you declare war on?
You say the enemy is. They're the experts, right? If the enemy was Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda, then declare against them, just as Thomas Jefferson declared war on the Barbary pirates.
And once you've declared war on Al-Qaeda, then you bomb at will?
Pardon me?
Once you declare war on Al-Qaeda, then you just bomb at will?
And then what? Bomb at will? No, you don't bomb at will. No, if you engage in war, you're supposed to only attack the people that are that you've declared war against, not innocent civilians. It's still not easy, John. It's not an easy answer. The ultimate answer to all this, of course, is that the U.S. Stop intervening in the Middle East. Get the heck out of there. Get the heck out of 146 other countries and just protect our borders. Not intervene throughout the world and making more enemies in the process. That's the answer, John. That's the ultimate answer.
The U.S. has already killed many terrorists and caught many others using their present program, but I haven't seen them catch anybody through self-loathing or appeasement.
It's a Hydra killing, John. You're not. How many number two Al-Qaeda people have we killed already? They keep on popping up in tenfold. It's a Hydra. It's a Hydra killing, John. You're killing one head and eight take its place because of the process, because of the method involved in the killing of innocent civilians. It picks off a lot more people, and you create what were moderate fundamentals into Islamic fascists.
Well, you don't kill the Hydra by leaving it alone either.
Sure. You leave it in its own little place and you can go somewhere else. Just like I'm not sure I would ever want to swim in shark-infested waters. It's the shark's area.
And every now and then...
The sharks have their own area.
Every
I'm not
going to
swim there. I think I'll
swim
in Lake Michigan instead.
And then every now and then one of our buildings fall down.
No, it only falls down because of our intervention, John. Osama bin Laden said that time and time again. It's because of the intervention.
Yeah, he also said that he wants
the
whole world to become Muslim.
Interest. That's nonsense.
Well, I know I'd be more willing to take your side because, believe me, I'd rather solve things through a peaceful method. But I just don't see the guilty getting caught under your...
Maybe not. I'm not saying it's easy, John, but what I'm suggesting is that the solution you seem to be advocating makes it worse. Sometimes there are no good answers. There are only lesser or worse bad answers.
So
not a perfect world.
Is just to accept everything that has happened to us as being our fault and then not attack anyone.
No. I never said that it was all our fault. I said to diminish the problem, non-intervention is an answer. I'm not condoning any kind of murdering at all by these Islamic fascist terrorists. That's horrible. And if we can hunt down the individual planners of these killings, fine. Hunt them down.
Provided
give them proper their proper rights and prosecute them and punish them. That's fine.
But if we leave our own country to hunt them down, then aren't we just invading other countries and infringing upon their rights? Or do we have to ask permission to hunt these people down?
I'm not saying it's an easy answer. I'm saying it's the only answer that makes any sense because when you start just indiscriminately killing innocent people and hunting down these people, you create more enemies than you've killed.
I don't think it makes any sense because you're not going to catch anyone.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, we could just say go back and forth this for hours, but, you know, it's not going to do us any good. You have your opinion, I have mine. All that thing I do know is that destroying our Constitution in order to save it makes no sense. You start by allowing the Congress by following the Constitution. Number one, Congress shall have the power to declare war, not the President. And what we've got now is a police state because of that, John. And you and I both don't like that, I think.
Well, I don't endorse everything that our government's doing. I don't think anyone does. Even communists don't endorse everything our government's doing. But I do want those who are guilty to get punished. Otherwise, you know, our rights in the Constitution would mean nothing. I mean, okay, the government wouldn't infringe upon our rights, but then we have no protection against anyone else.
I'm all in favor of punishing the guilty. John, I'm with you on that. But you can't. But I think it's counterproductive to do so by using Machiavellian tactics and justifying means tactics in the process because you create more enemies than you destroy.
To punish the guilty, you got to catch the guilty.
But okay, so let's suppose you had a son or a daughter, John, or a wife that happened to perpetrate some kind of crime. Do you think that the government should have the right to come in and bomb your house and kill you, too, and other innocent sons and daughters in the process?
That depends.
Really, it depends?
If I had a son or a daughter or a wife who committed some kind of crime, then it would be up to me to have my son, daughter, or wife turn
him or herself.
Well,
if you didn't do that, then you are proper targets for bombing, for indiscriminate bombing without any kind of trial or anything.
If I endorse the crime that my son or daughter or wife is committing,
then the executive
becomes the
executive becomes the police or whatever. The executive becomes not only the person who apprehends you, but becomes the trier of fact and law and the executioner all in one. That's not what freedom's all about, John.
Of course, your example does not catch my son, daughter, or wife. I have yet to hear a solution for catching these people.
I already suggested that the major solution is to not engage in intervention. That's not a perfect solution. I agree with you, but I am suggesting that throwing away our freedoms in order to save them is not the solution either. That's a worse solution and creates more problems than it solves. And that's what you refuse to see, John.
I just can't see anyone getting caught under self-loathing.
Okay, John, we're going in circles now. I appreciate your call. We're here at 847-931-1410. This is Kenneth John. Freedom Rings. Open line. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Josh Desiri is a real go-to tech guy. Josh Desiri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Josh Desiri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Desiri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Desiri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We have an open line today. Anything about politics, law, economics, or philosophy is welcome, and I believe we have Pete on the line. Hello, Pete.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I called in to talk a little bit about Judge Alito, but let's pursue this question about a declaration of war here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want a declaration of war against the Taliban or against Al-Qaeda?
Well,
in what way does that restrain presidential power? I think it expands presidential power.
No, the last time
we had one, that's what happened.
The point is, Pete, my opinion on a variety of just about anything is that process is more important than the result one wants to obtain. I think if you do the process properly, that the results in general, at least for the most part, will fall into place. If we have a constitution, if it means anything, it should mean what it says. And if the constitution says Congress has the power to declare war, then that's what we should do. If people want to change that so that the president has the power to declare war by himself, then there should be a process of constitutional amendment to allow the president to say that. But as soon as you allow the little camel's nose under the tent to allow the executive to do what it pleases because it's a constitutional living document or some nonsense like that, then the whole apparatus of the Constitution falls apart and the whole rule of law of concept of rule of law falls apart. And that, to me, Pete, is a lot more deleterious effect than what you're proposing.
Well, it seems to me that the last time we had a declaration of war, after the Japanese Empire attacked Pearl Harbor, November 7, 1941, right? The President of the United States took Japanese American citizens from their homes and their jobs and their businesses and sent them to relocation camps.
Right, and that was wrong.
And the Supreme Court upheld that.
That was wrong and unconstitutional.
And it was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yes.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. And the way that war was concluded with the Japanese Empire is when President Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that caused a lot more collateral damage than an airstrike in Pakistan.
Oh, you make excellent points, Pete. I can't argue that. I would say that the subsequent wars, the reason that the war was not declared was not just that they wanted even more expansion of powers, but that they were afraid they wouldn't get the proper declaration. So I would think in the subsequent, not every instance is the same in history, and it seems to me that a lot of these wars could have been avoided if the Constitution had been adhered to. Now, I think the point you're implicitly making is that the Constitution is just a flimsy piece of paper anyway. It doesn't really matter.
No.
Because the Supreme Court ruled that the internment of Japanese was constitutional anyway.
Yes.
Even though the Founding Fathers contemplated war and peace in the Constitution and really didn't make much differentiation.
Yes, I understand your point. But can Congress, by resolution, do the same thing as a declaration of war?
I don't think it is.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? I don't think the Founding Fathers intended to have Congress the ability to relinquish their responsibility with a generalized resolution. I think if they wanted to say that Congress can pass broad resolutions granting presidents dictatorial powers, I think the Constitution would have said that. The Founding Fathers would have put those words in the Constitution. But they didn't. They said Congress has the power to declare war. And I think congressmen would think twice before doing that. I think they're more likely to just relieve themselves of responsibility and allow the executive to decide that.
Well, the Korean conflict, was waged under a Security Council resolution of the United Nations.
Right.
And the United States joined the United Nations. Correct?
Yes.
By treaty. And doesn't the Constitution make treaties the supreme law of the land?
Well, you can always, yes, that's true. But you can also, I guess what you're arguing is that treaty supersedes the other aspects of the Constitution?
It doesn't supersede
it. They're both supreme law of the land.
Right.
It seems to me that treaties can always be, I think you can always back out of a treaty, can't you? You know, we can always make a resolution. We no longer, for whatever reason, maybe because we submit that the charters of the UN were not properly followed or whatever, and we rescind our membership of the UN.
The argument is, if you back out of a treaty, no one will ever make a treaty with you again because you're not reliable. You've given your word and you've broken it, and who wants to make an agreement with someone who's already broken their word?
Actually, it sounds pretty good to me. I don't know which much treaty that really makes much sense as far as maximizing individual freedom and self-responsibility.
Well, then you really don't favor a declaration of war. You just would not favor neither a resolution nor a declaration of war.
You mean in this instance?
Yeah.
I think it's a tough question. I guess my point is, Pete, I think responsible, intelligent people can differ on their opinions on it. If we at least crossed the constitutional mandates, I wouldn't have such a problem with the war mongers, if you will. But when they haven't even done the rudimentary steps of declaring war, no, then to me there's no argument.
But didn't the Congress, in the wake of September 11, 2001, pass a resolution giving the President a lot of these powers? One House, the United States Senate, was controlled by the Democrats, one House was controlled by the Republicans, and they both voted overwhelmingly.
Oh, yeah, because the Democrats are what we're saying. They're both a part of the power party.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I understand that.
Of course they did. That doesn't make it right.
So, well, it seems to me we're in a situation where there's really no solution there.
I don't think there's any really good solutions, but I think solutions that abrogate the Constitution and our rights cause more problems than they help. Solutions that allow for indiscriminate bombing, that allow torture, that allow detaining of people and even American citizens without due process rights, cause more problems than they help. That I do know.
Well,
sometimes, and that's the thing about what libertarians see have been accused of being idealists, that we don't look at the real world at all. And I always say the opposite is true. Libertarians at least recognize that there are some problems of society and law and people that are not completely solvable, but that the solutions that some propose, these are by idealists, I would suggest, do more harm than good. And everything that I think Bush has done in this regard has done more harm than good.
Well, isn't the sanction that the Congress has over the president is the power of impeachment?
That's one of them.
Well, that's the ultimate solution.
Yeah, but if they've abrogated their responsibility with to declare war, what makes one think that they're going to, especially hypocritical Republicans,
who
had been asserting all these powers that Bush has, are you kidding me? Or Clinton? Or Bill Clinton? How soon would these Republicans be calling for impeachment?
I understand your point.
Let's go to Alito, because I know you had some comments on Alito, too.
Well, Judge Alito is only one member out of nine.
Yep.
And I think they've made too much about that he's replacing Sandra Day O'Connor, because I think Justice Kennedy was almost as much of a swing vote on the Supreme Court as Sandra Day O'Connor was.
I think that's a bogus argument by the Democrats,
yeah.
By the way. No, I don't go along with that.
That
he has to be like Sandra Day O'Connor. No, I disagree with that. I would just like him to uphold the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
I would think that should be the main thing that the Supreme Court does, is uphold our inalienable rights. And Alito seems to me more concerned about presidential power than anything else. I could be wrong.
You mean he's too deferential to presidential power?
Absolutely.
Or is he too deferential to a limited view of the judiciary?
This limited judiciary has many multifaceted meanings. If you talk to Judge Bork,
yes.
To him, limited judiciary means that the Congress can pass almost anything it damn well pleases, and that if the judiciary shouldn't intervene. Now, does that include things like fugitive slave laws? Does that include things like separate but equal laws by federal national governments? There are some things that Congress passes that are patently unconstitutional, and I'm a strict constructionist in the sense that I think the Constitution means what it says, and I think our founding fathers knew they had a really good hold of the English language, and they knew what they were saying. But I think part of what they were saying is that the Bill of Rights needed to be upheld. And in that sense, when Congress abrogates our constitutional rights, I think the judiciary should be activist, very activist. So if that makes me believe in activist judges, fine. I don't believe in a living constitution, but I believe in activist judges in order to support, uphold our inalienable rights that are guaranteed to the Bill of Rights.
I understand. I take your point, except that if you're any kind of an originalist, you understand what that term means,
right?
That you believe that the Constitution is not something that should be interpreted in the context of the times when it was enacted. For example, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments came in the wake of the American Civil War. And if we use those, that's a different conception than the Founding Fathers may have had.
Yeah.
You take that point?
Yes. Yeah, especially the 14th Amendment,
yeah.
I believe, basically turned...
country from federalism into nation statism, I suppose.
Well, then that was a basic change. And also, I think that the
at least it was the mandatory process that was used.
Yes, but it was done at a time when many of the states that had been in the Union were not in the Union.
Because
of the Civil War.
That's true, and there's a good argument to be made that those amendments were not properly ratified.
You mentioned the separate but equal doctrine of Plessy versus Ferguson, which is like 1896. Well, if you look at it from an originalist point of view, didn't the same Congress that enacted the 14th Amendment set up segregated school systems for District of Columbia? One white school system for the District of Columbia and one black school system for the District of Columbia? The same Congress which passed the 14th Amendment, which was controlled by radical Republicans, did set up separate but equal, ostensibly, schools.
Mm-hmm.
From the original point of view, therefore, to say that separate but equal in the context of that time was, you know, some sort of way out of mainstream doctrine. There were people that Justice Harlan dissented from it at that time. I understand that, and he was probably right. But there was an originalist argument to be made for that if you're an originalist.
Right, I understand that. You make your point, Pete. I got to run. Okay. I got one more call I want to take.
Sure.
Thank you. Bye.
Ken, we got no one else on the line. You got about 30 seconds left before we start playing your music. Still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, did Bob drop, did you say?
Yeah, Bob's no longer with us.
Oh, he's no longer with us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've cut Pete off. But,
it was a long time.
You know, he makes an interesting point about states' rights and how it's changed into, you know, more of a national purview over rights with the 14th Amendment. That's an interesting argument to bring up, though we don't really have the time for that.
No,
but
we've got
time
for it
at some point. Okay, well, we have, a quotation of the week. This is a very simple, short one from Tito Brass. The morality of power is immorality.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.